listen up. I'm not even sure if this post is secure for my ID to be all up in it. But basically, I'm a rebel that's hitting you up from the quarantines. My boy just got a new Eretz meds dosage. And thus far, it's been really tough. And I've been able to be here for him through it all. But then last night, I just found out they're trying to push me out of HQ due to disciplinary reasons. So to make it quick, me and my boy, we're planning on busting out of here this morning. We're going to need cover and a rebel comp to take us in so we can get back on our feet. And he says something about he knows the code to the rebel comp of freedom. So be on the lookout for us, aye?
We just heard an excerpt from the play Descendants of Freedom, a futuristic queer hip-hop odyssey. Descendants of Freedom opens tonight at the Brick Studio in downtown Brooklyn. Set in 2083, Descendants of Freedom imagines a future in which HIV/AIDS has been renamed ERIDS, or Ethnic-Related Immune Deficiency Syndrome. In this world, LGBT youth of color form rebel communities and use technology, hip-hop, dance, and the power of the spoken word to resist the plans of the U.S. Minister Health Crisis to unjustly quarantine them in prisons for the ERIDS-stricken. With us today to talk about Descendants of Freedom are members of the cast, the artistic director, and the playwright. Welcome to Rise Up Radio. Can you introduce yourselves to the listeners, both who you are in real life and what role you play in the production?
Hi, my name is Chaney Sims, born and raised in Queens, and currently working as a fundraiser for a nonprofit arts organization. I play the minister, Health Crisis. He's kind of the main villain in Descendants.
My name is Crystal Stone. I am from Dallas, Texas, born and raised. Been here for about 3 months, and I'm an actress. I play several roles. I play Dr. Modernity, professor, assistant, and I'm the voices of Cytecra, Come Board Voice 2, and I also play the Human Guard.
My name is Yvonne Atagana. I'm from Nigeria. I'm a poet and writer, poet and performer. My character is Grand Madam, and she really oversees New City Way of Life, which is where most of the play takes place. And I also work for Minister Health Crisis.
Hi, my name is Candace Sala Hewitt. I am the artistic director for Descendants of Freedom. I work also in the development office of a nonprofit called Estrella Lesbian Foundation for Justice. And I am a poet, and I love directing stage, and that's what's going on.
What's up? I'm Lexi from Durham, North Carolina. I play Fofo in the play. She's a strong-minded character. She knows what she wants to do, and she's about her business.
My name's Andre Lancaster. I'm a working artist and playwright, and I'm from Texas.
Did you consider playing a role?
You know, I didn't want to play a role because I wanted to definitely give the director and the cast freedom to do what they do without the playwright and the producer. And I'm like, that line should be said like that. Because believe me, I do say it. And the few opportunities that I do get to say it. But it's not even that deep. I'd say, a very great playwright and producer to work with. Yeah, so I like to be a character in the play. And if I were to be a character in the play, I like to be the Grand Madam.
Let's talk to the Madam. Actually, Madam, if you could explain what New City is, the quarantines, and your job.
New City, I would say that it's a city in 2084. What's different about it is the health quarantines, or HQ, where people with ERIDS, which is what AIDS has evolved into, ethnic-related immune deficiency syndrome, that's where people with ERIDS have been quarantined off into. So I would say that was one of the most different things about New City. And I oversee everything. I have guards that protect me, that make sure that everything's in line, and that the rebels, who are people who are trying to fight against being quarantined and fight against, enforced medication upon them that they may or may not need, myself and my guards control them, or try to control them and keep them in place and complacent.
So the rebels. We're going to talk about the rebels. And to refresh my memory with us, do we have rebels in the house? We have a rebel. Definitely, we have a rebel. Let's talk to a rebel. Let's just talk a little bit about your character, why you're a rebel, and what does it mean to be a rebel, to be a hacktivist in this future world of Descendants?
A rebel... I don't know. A rebel is pretty much,
it's like what it says. Somebody who's not a part of the society that everybody else is a part of. In the new city way of life, it's like you have the healthy people that just like middle class or something, like high class, middle class and stuff. Then you that like are in poverty and that are, you know, have, you know, PIs, which is like HIV positive. They didn't want to stay in the HQ quarantines that the Minister of Health invented just to keep all the arid people contained. The people that didn't want to stay in HQ, they fled and became like outlaws. So same thing as rebels. I'm more of a rebel, not only because I want to be, but my boyfriend, Mr. E, in the play, he's PIs, which is like HIV positive. And my love for him is like strong enough that, you know, I respect him as a person and I want to help people like him.
So, minister.
Yes, the minister.
What do you think of your character?
What do I think of my character? I love playing the minister. I think everybody knows that.
Tell us a little who the minister is in the world of New City, what the role of the minister is.
Well, Minister Health Crisis's title pretty much says it right there. He is the main person who's been put in charge of trying to control ARIDS in the United States, particularly within the play itself, within New City Way of Life, and for establishing quarantines to try and track people with the disease.
So he's an administrator, but he also has...
He's in the government. He's a government administrator. He's in the higher echelon of the government, is actually running for president.
Why does he come to New City?
Well, he comes to New City to announce his candidacy for president and to visit the health quarantines that Grand Madam is overseeing in New City Way of Life. As far as his job is really just pushing forth this strategy to really lock down all people who are infected with ARIDS and to get control of the rebels and present this pretty picture for the U.S. population, you know. He really just tells other people what to do. He's in love with power.
You spoke of hope. There's a lot of hope in Descendants of Freedom. There's frightening things and there's repression, but there's dancing and there's music and there's a lot of hope. At one point, I remember, I think it was the minister said, ARIDS, as the saying goes,
is hope.
And that, to me, is a paradox. And I'm curious what's behind that. How could it be a disease that kills and also hope?
From my perspective, just reading it and in the minister, I think for him, the creation of ARIDS and using that language and, you know, building these quarantines, it is hope for the future as far as containing this disease and weeding out everybody who is, you know, that he considers degenerate and depraved, as far as creating a better, what he considers a better society.
So the rebel communities find different ways of surviving, of communicating, but also celebrating. You mentioned earlier the gathering of spirits. That seemed important in a few different ways. I wonder if actually you could speak to how it works within the overall play.
Okay, well, starting first on the perspective of like the rebel community and how they kind of protect each other, it is very much a high security type of way of living, because people have to be on alert for these sweeps and for surveillance and all of these things. So the rebels have to be just as technically advanced and capable as their enemies or their oppressors. So they use technology in a way that allows them to maneuver through this world. So that's one way that they cope. But there are a couple of different themes in the play that I think are really major. One is, as Chaney was talking about, and as you mentioned, this idea of hope and how hope, you saw it used, being used in two different ways. One, by the minister, in terms of the language that he uses around ARIDS, and the other by the rebels and the way that they express themselves in a way that's healing. And I think that paradox is really central to the play in terms of the use of language. The Minister of Health uses language that we now think of as like social justice type of terminology. But in this world, in the future, that language has been co-opted for what's called the status quota, So when that happens, and it's not just language in this world, it's language and it's also culture that's been co-opted, and a lot of different things, culture that comes from people of color, that comes from queer people. So all of these things have a trickle-up effect in kind of a similar way that we see hip-hop today. Mm-hmm. Like, hip-hop is now pop-hop, you have pop-hop performers or whatever, as opposed to, like, the underground, which is where the rebels are more located. And in the underground, in the rebel community, that's where you have, it's kind of like a crossroads for a connection between history and cultural history and future, new ways of envisioning health and envisioning love and envisioning their bodies. And that's where the Gathering of Spirits comes from. The Gathering of Spirits is that arena, a spiritual connection that the rebels can make amongst one another through dance in particular. And in that expression of their bodies, right, because in this world their bodies are battle zones as well. So in order to combat that, they have created this expression that's, you know, maybe what we think of like church or, you know, even the club can be a very spiritual experience sometimes, right? So this gathering of energies is at once about creating safe space and health and spiritual health, but it's also about connecting to that cultural history where dance has always been a part of people of color's way of expressing spirituality and that type of thing. So it's very central.
You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and streaming live on WBAI.org. We're speaking today with cast members of Descendants of Freedom, a futuristic queer hip-hop odyssey. Descendants of Freedom opens tonight at the Brick Studio in downtown Brooklyn, and will also be playing next weekend as well at the Sputnik Bar and Lounge, also in Brooklyn. If you'd like more information about the play, you can visit www.descendantsoffreedom.info. That's www.descendantsoffreedom.info, or call 212-330-8268. That's 212-330-8268. You can also check out an archived interview with the playwright, Andre Lancaster, who's here with us again today, on Rise Up Radio's website, www.riseupradio.org. We're going to talk a little bit about sexuality and gender. I wanted to ask you, Crystal, you play many different roles in this play, Descendants of Freedom. How does gender play out?
Well, for one, primarily my experience in theater as an actress has been mainstream theater, Shakespeare, Chekhov, Arthur Miller. But this is obviously non-mainstream experimental. And the director, Sala, gave me the choice of what gender I wanted my characters to be, which I thought was extremely profound and out of sight. So I got to choose, for example, Dr. Modernity, whether she was going to be, or he was going to be female or male. And I kind of went back and forth on it. It took me a while to kind of settle as a male. And also with Professor, I was given the choice with that one. I was given the choice pretty much on all of them. And there's just the dynamic there of playing with what is male, what is female, especially in the scope of this play. It's totally different than a female in this show would be totally different than a female in Shakespeare, for example. Like, it's not like a cookie cutter. And it has all of these different pieces of the pie that go into being what your gender is. So for me, it's been difficult because I do have several roles as far as like putting an image of what I'm supposed to be as a male or what I'm supposed to be as a female. But it's been really enlightening because I wouldn't have this opportunity in any other mainstream theatrical production.
Let's talk to Fofo. Maybe you could speak about how the character Fofo identifies.
Fofo is a male to female trans. And she likes, I don't know, she's in love with a female to male trans. So, you know, she's in love with I guess so. It's like, I don't even know what to call it. Two transsexuals, the opposites or whatever, something.
And so not knowing it one way or the other isn't necessarily an issue.
No, it's not an issue because it's the person, not the gender. It's just the person that Mr. E is, and I'm attracted to that.
What about sex in the play?
I have sex in the play.
What kind of sex do you have?
Kinky kind, you know. It's kind of nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for people that are considering coming, I should say going to the play.
Ew.
Do we get to see some kinky sex, or what's up?
Yeah, I'm doing a little spanking.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little foreplay.
sex, along with gender, right? Sexuality is also really important to the show because it's just as fluid as the gender. So even though we may see butch female read as a man who's seeing a man, who's seeing a woman, or whatever we may see, there are also these power dynamics in the way sex is played out in the world of New City Way of Life. And I think it's really integral to the play in that, in terms of queer sexuality, we don't see these reigns of expressions very often. But in particular to the world of the show, we have moments where sex is a positive thing, right? Where it's very much an expression of love between two people, but also like freedom and freedom of expression and the opportunity to explore. But then we also see the flip side of that, right? And we see how power plays into sexuality and the effects of that, whether or not it's among people of a similar stature or people with clear difference in power in this world, from, you know, political power to a street kid. How does sex work between a politician and someone off of the street? That's like a huge question, right? How sex is expressed through power, and I think that's also really important to the show. So yes, Fofo has a moment, a very, very positive moment in terms of the rebels' expression of sexuality and that freedom of exploration.
Well, you know, the play is coming up tonight.
Yes, it is.
And it's time that we talk about where it is and when it is. And also, starting with you, the minister, what's one reason among many that people should come down tonight, one of the things that they'll get from the play?
I think if it was myself and I was on the outside, to see yourself.
And where is it?
The play will be tonight at 8 p.m., it's being put on at Brick Studio. It's located at 57 Rockwell Place, the second floor, and that's between Fulton and DeKalb.
Could you repeat that, the address?
The address? 57 Rockwell Place, second floor, between Fulton and DeKalb.
Okay, now for people that didn't get to write that down, where can they go on the web, or what number can they call to get information?
You can get information at 212-330-8268, and we're up on the web. The site is descendantsoffreedom.info.
Okay, so that's descendantsoffreedom.info, and the number again?
The number is 212-330-8268.
Okay, and tonight's performance starts again at
8 p.m.
8 p.m., and then there are additional performances if you can't make it tonight. When are they?
We will also be having performances on May 1st and May 2nd. May 2nd is sort of a matinee. It starts at 6 p.m., and we're also having performances at Sputnik Bar and Lounge, which is located at 262 Taffy Place between Willoughby and DeKalb, and that's going to be going up Saturday and Sunday, May 15th and 16th at 7:30 p.m.
Thanks. I wanted to ask you as well, why did you decide to join the play?
The reason I stayed and really want to be a part of this show is because there's so many things in the play that relate to everyday life. Because it's in 2084, I think a lot of times people, when they read or see things that are in the future, they kind of try to distance themselves and like, oh, well, that's in the future and it's different and it's strange and everything's more advanced and all the equipment that they're using and the technology and the language that they're using is so different that you kind of have that space to distance yourself. Whereas this play, the more I get into it and read it and deconstruct it and analyze it, the more it just seems like tomorrow or today or yesterday. And especially speaking about quarantines and certain populations that are quarantined, whether they be diseased or not diseased and what that means. And we're already quarantined. There are all kinds of quarantines, whether you want to call it the ghetto or whether or not you want to call it what part of the city you live in, your economic bracket, your sexuality, your gender, your education, what kind of education you have access to based on your background. So we're already living in a quarantine society. We just call them, you know, our communities, whatever. So that really is intriguing to me, to not only think about the past of how we've been quarantined along all sorts of class, gender, and race lines, but also the way in which we are increasingly becoming more and more quarantined along your status as far as HIV or AIDS or whatever you want to call it. So that's very intriguing to me, and I'm honored to be a part of it. I think it's so amazing.
When I learned about what the play was about, it kind of like raised my awareness, like, you know, AIDS is out there, and just because you have it, it's not okay to just die. You know, it's, you got to just take it and live on with it and go on with your life with it and lift up other people and help them out and help them to deal with what they have. And even the ones that don't have it, it's just you have to just learn how to love the ones that do have it even more because they're going through it. And it's not only just about AIDS. It's about just being homosexual anyway. You know, we have to deal with people being prejudiced against us in society. Then we have to worry about people and other gay people and homosexual people being rude and disrespectful to us too. And I think the play just shows that we as all people need to stick together.
Salah, as artistic director, why did you decide to work on Descendants of Freedom?
I wanted to work on Descendants of Freedom because I wanted to work on a project that did have a full expression of both the multiplicity of people of color communities, as well as the different facets of the queer community all in one. I mean, it's like so rare to see our worlds represented as one world because we live in one world. We live in our one body, right? Each of us, but yet we're all always forced to like separate those worlds. Okay, we have to be a person of color now. Okay, now we can be queer. Now it's okay to be queer. And so to have this put on and to involve the communities that it's for. This is by queer folks of color. It's for queer folks of color, for POS people. I mean, it's so organic. I have to say it's organic, right? And I think that's the most important part of theater to me is to allow us all to be transformed by it. And so my hope is that the cast is affected by the show, is moved by the show, and that through their own discoveries in the world of this play and in the script, they're able to communicate those discoveries to the audience because it is also about the audience's world. I'm expecting mm-hmm. to see a lot of folks that come from these communities that we're representing and to see themselves not portrayed in any way that's totally farcical or, you know, satirical or anything like that. Just, it is very real. Yes, it's a futuristic world, but as Yvonne was saying, it's very much about what's happening today. It's very much about what happened yesterday because it's all cyclical. We like to think that humanity is either really weird today as opposed to what it was in the good old days, or we've advanced beyond those horrible old non-technology-based days. So either way, it's not true. We are advancing, but yet we deal with the same struggles. So it's hand in hand, and I think that's what's really important about the show, is that we can move forward into the future, but we can also hold on to those things that are most important to us from our past and our lives.
Let's talk a little bit about the relationship of the play to the communities that it represents. You've done, as you told us on Rise Up Radio a few weeks back, a lot of outreach.
My vision behind linking with community organizations, which we call comlinks to kind of keep with the sci-fi aspect of the play, is that I definitely wanted to connect the show with the very same communities and folks who were the inspirations for the show. As a student of theater, I know all too well of going into theater and seeing a play about slavery and then seeing nothing but white folk in the space. So that's definitely something that I've been very conscious of. And for that reason, we've reached out to these community organizations, some of which are Bronx Lesbian Gay Health Resource Consortium, Fierce, a queer youth of color organizing collective, People of Color in Crisis and HIV Prevention Agency in Brooklyn, HEAT, Health Education Alternative for Teens, Teen Clinic for Youth in Brooklyn, and also Teach MHRA, a very interesting HIV initiative in Manhattan.
Actually, we'll go now to sound from a conversation I had earlier this week. I spoke with Edgar Rivera Colon, who's a researcher with Teach MHRA. I asked Edgar, why is it important to establish comlinks between productions like Descendants and community organizations like Teach MHRA?
Well, because ultimately the crisis is going to be dealt with in the communities. And the organizations that have real bases in those communities, real grassroots people at work, in motion, are the ones who are going to solve this crisis. Ultimately, I believe this crisis is about resources, who has them and who doesn't. And it's about a lot of big topics about love, about death, about the meaning of things, about spirituality. And what better way to deal with these issues except through art, which is where people can create and reimagine the world. So I actually think it's really great. great that they're making these what they call comlinks, because it's by spreading out into deeper and deeper social networks that we're going to be able to address the crisis. The crisis is not about one person getting infected. It's about social networks and communities being affected and infected. And I think these kinds of cultural interventions, these kind of production, really create the kind of institutional and neighborhood interventions that we need.
That was Edgar Rivera-Colon, a researcher with Teach MHRA, which is a project of the Gay Men's Health Crisis. For more information about Teach and its services, you can call 212-367-1522. That's 212-367-1522. You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and streaming live on WBAI.org. We're speaking today with cast members of Descendants of Freedom, a futuristic queer hip-hop odyssey. Also with us in the studio is Andre Lancaster, the playwright of Descendants. Andre, do you have any closing thoughts?
I would also say that if folks are considering going tonight, to know that the money that their tickets are going not only to paying for the show, but also it's going back to the artists. So it's a great way to support the work of artists who are largely doing this out of love, not out of money.
Great. Again, if you'd like more information about the play, you can visit www.descendantsoffreedom.info or call 212-330-8268. That's 212-330-8268. Thanks so much to all of you for joining us today on Rise Up Radio. Speaking with us today have been Chaney Sims, Crystal Stone, Yvonne Itagana, Lexi Smith, Candice Sala-Hewitt, and Andre Lancaster. Best of luck tonight. Thanks also to Edgar Rivera-Colon of Teach MHRA and Descendants of Freedom sound designer DJ Aiden.
Yo, yo, what's happening? Peace, love, protection, and guidance. Design our crew massive, you know what I'm saying? DJ, our production, Dave the engineer, you know what I'm saying? We just come to be messing in the life of the hip-hop heads worldwide. You got beats. I haunt in psychokinetical power, so I forge hotter than chili sauce, like Broadway be large. Travel with force, of course.
That wraps up the show for today. Our engineer was Errol Maitland. I'm your host, Doug George. Today's show was produced by Kat Aaron, Q Life, and myself, and is, as always, a production of the Free Radio Youth Collective. Rise Up Radio welcomes your contributions, critiques, and suggestions. Send us an email to riseupradio@wbai.org, or you can leave us a message on our voicemail here at the station, 212-209-2948. That's 212-209-2948. Also, you can check out our streaming audio archives of our past shows on our website, riseupradio.org. Thanks for tuning in. We're out. Peace.
Life is one big road for lots of signs. Let your inner light shine. Let your inner light shine. I'll be the Libra believer, lyric miracle weaver, always taking your deeper. Khalid, keep the Shiva, special feats. And Blob got the keys to the Jeep, the four wheel drive until you speak. And nice to meet. Reach a peace for release the beast. We face the east and sink it to the ether.
And you're tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio.